Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible reveals that God works by the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who believe, providing day-by-day guidance, comfort, wisdom, and insight for even the smallest detail of life. Who or what is the Holy Spirit? It's vital to know, so today we'll find out. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on what we believe and the difference it should make. Let's listen now for message number 4, The Spirit We Embrace.
I think it was A.J. Gordon, who was one of the founders of Gordon Divinity School, who said that on one occasion he was walking along when he noticed in the distance there was a man pumping water. And he was pumping effortlessly, tirelessly, and consistently. But as Gordon got closer, he noticed that it wasn't a man at all. In fact, it was a man cut life-size out of plywood. It was not that the man was pumping water, but the man was being pumped by an artesian well. Jesus said on one occasion, "He who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from within him there shall be rivers of living water." And then John adds these words, "But this he spoke of the Spirit, that those which believe in him should receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus said, "You come to me and you drink, and you can have a well of water," as he said to the woman at the well, "springing forth to everlasting life." Why is it that the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is so critical for us as Christians? First of all, because many people think that walking in the Spirit is something that belongs to super saints. They think it is something that is unattainable for those possibly who've walked with God for many, many years. Well, I'm here today to tell you that the notion of walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, those doctrines actually apply to all struggling Christians. So if you're here today and you're a struggling Christian, I've got good news for you. And then there are those who say, well, it's too mysterious. It's also controversial. Churches have sometimes split over the filling of the Spirit, over the idea of whether or not there are certain manifestations connected with it. The devil has used all of these things to somehow blind us to the power that you and I can experience and the intimacy that we can experience with the Spirit. And so today, we are going to think about the doctrine of the Spirit, but it will be transforming. We will leave here differently than we have come because we've heard God's word and God's truth has changed us. Have you ever thought to yourself how wonderful it would be if you had been with Jesus when he was here on earth? People want to walk where Jesus walked. Just ask Roy Schwartz, who's sitting here at the front. He's taken many, many trips to Israel. People say, "I want to walk where Jesus walked. Show me the steps where Jesus once walked." We all want to walk where Jesus walked. So we'd like to have been back there. But did you know that we have advantages today that the disciples didn't have? Jesus said, "It is good for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter to you. But when I send the Paraclete, the Comforter, he will abide with you forever." Now he's with you, but he's going to be in you. And Jesus said, "It's good that I'm leaving." By the way, that word Paraclete has been variously translated. Sometimes I've seen translations that call it the Counselor. Call him the Counselor. "I will send the Counselor to you." And some translations call the Spirit the Comforter, the Guide, others the companion, the advocate, the encourager, and I thought to myself, what is the best translation of that word paraclete? Actually, all of those words fit. Because the Spirit is to us what we need at the moment. Do you need encouragement? The Spirit is there to encourage you. Do you need guidance? The Spirit is there to guide you. Do you need an advocate with the Father? Well, the Spirit is our advocate, and so is Jesus. Your need is to be met by the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus said that in Old Testament times, the Spirit was with you, but now he shall be in you, permanently indwelling you. He will abide with you forever. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit to God's people. You say, well, when the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within us, as we'll see in a moment, when the Spirit comes, is it right to say that Jesus comes too, and that the Father comes? Now what we need to do is to think theologically. You know, this is the fourth in a series of messages titled, What We Believe and the Difference That It Should Make. So let's think as theologians. Of course, it's not possible for the Holy Spirit of God to indwell us without the Father and the Son also coming to indwell us. Because you cannot ontologically separate the Trinity. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 23, that if a person loves me, I will love him, and my Father will love him, and we together will come and make our abode with him. So you see, the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son are separated in Scripture in certain ways, but then the distinction between them also is somewhat blurred, at least to our way of thinking, because the Trinity, while it is mysterious, is not a contradiction, and how thankful we are that God is a Trinity. If you were here a few weeks ago and I lectured on the Trinity, you know how important that is. So it's correct to say that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. It's correct to say that the Father is within us. But the ministry that is emphasized in the New Testament is the ministry of the third person of the Trinity within us, the blessed Holy Spirit of God. And that means that we have the companionship of God. God is with us no matter where we go. He's with us as we drive along the Kennedy Expressway. He's with us as we ride the L. He is with us wherever we go. The companionship of God, also the power of God. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Oftentimes pastors say, now that word dunamis is the word from which we get dynamite. The Holy Spirit is the dynamite of God. Well, that's true from the standpoint of the etymology of the word, but dynamite is not a good way to illustrate the Spirit's work. The Spirit works imperceptibly. The Spirit works gently. The Spirit works quietly. Sometimes we don't even observe the work of the Spirit. And he's working, but he's powerful because he is God of very God. The companionship of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God also gives us the desires of God. When you got saved, God gave you a new nature, and that new nature comes accompanied with the gift of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, is it possible for a Christian to be genuinely saved and still walk in sin? And the answer is yes. I'm sure we've all done it, and there are those who persistently live in sin. But listen carefully. If you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you, when you deliberately sin, your misery index goes off the charts. You just can't stand it because you are one person in Christ and you're living as if you're another person. You belong to God and you're living as if you belong to the devil. God implanted within you a desire for holiness, and now you have chosen to live contrary to that, And it is so, so unpleasant, and in the end, so guilty, and so much emptiness. That's why coming to Christ sometimes makes things worse. Guy says, you know, before I got saved, I was sleeping with my girlfriend, and it never bothered me. We just thought that we were fulfilling our desires, and after all, we were adults, etc., etc. After he gets saved, he still wants to, but he can't. And when he continues that lifestyle, it is so miserable, so unfulfilling. You don't want to hear the Bible. You don't want to go to church. Why? Because you are a living contradiction. You're contradicting who you have become in Christ. Now, the text for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, every Bible open. If you don't have a Bible, there is a pew Bible, at least a few of them, because it's important for you to always keep your finger on the text. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul has three questions when he gets to verse 15. Three questions in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Question number two, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. By the way, I'm not going to preach on this today, though I could. The next verse gives the most, not only the most interesting, but the greatest insight into sexual immorality that can be found in all of literature. All the wisdom of the world put together cannot equal what Paul says now. He says that if you are a member even of a prostitute because you're involved with her sexually, he says you become one body. And it's that metaphysical relationship of oneness that has far-reaching implications. Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and the reason that I am preaching from that passage in this message is because it tells us that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to take up residence in our hearts, and that's why we are committed to purity in all areas of our experience. I'm so glad that you have joined us for this series of messages titled What We Believe, and I hope that it becomes a part of your life as you begin to understand much better the basis and the foundation of the Christian faith. And as I have been saying on this broadcast during the last few days, I have written a book entitled Seven Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. I wrote it because, after all, the Bible is the foundation. It is the basis. It is God's revelation to us. And many people may wonder whether or not it is trustworthy. Well, I show that the answer is yes, from the standpoint of history, archaeology, from the standpoint of science, and all of the providences connected with God's book. Thanks so much for joining us, and I'll see you right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Spirit We Embrace, the fourth message in a 10-part series on what we believe. Next time on Running to Win, more on what it means for the Holy Spirit to indwell a believer. Erwin Lutzer's book, Seven Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.